Favor, please, and close that door for me. Thank you, sir. All right, we'll grab our Bibles this morning and turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter number 3. And let's pray. Father, we are grateful and thankful for Jesus Christ. We're so thankful, Lord, that Christ died for us and that while we were yet sinners. And not only died, Lord, but rose again 3 days later. And that we can experience true freedom in Christ here and now. We are so much more than just sinners saved by grace. We are so much more than just struggling to get by in this life. Lord, you told us that you have come to give us joy and to give it more abundantly. And the key is to abide in you. Lord, as we search the scriptures today and do our best to apply them to our lives, give us wisdom and understanding and discernment. I pray for your church people, your children, that you would give them exactly what they need to conform that much more into your image. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 1. Finally, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me. And it is reassuring for you. Watch out for dogs, watch out for evil workers, watch out for those who practice mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and boast in Christ Jesus and place no trust in the flesh, though I also have confidence in the flesh. So to write the same things, to continue to teach or reteaching the same truths over and over is not boring or burdensome to Paul. And I think that's one thing that's excellent for us to hear. This has nothing to do with today's lesson. But in order to be a master, you need thousands of hours studying certain topics. Not to get too far off track, but it's kind of interesting. As I'm helping coach the Levi's baseball team, I'm the pitching coach. And so a lot of times when you see pitchers trying to pitch for the first time or like they have bad habits, they'll drop their elbow. And so as they come around, they'll kind of do this thing, and it's called sailing. It'll sail upright, or they'll try to overcorrect and get, you know, top turny, and they'll dive bottom left. And so I said, hey, guys, one thing we've got to work on, let's get our elbow above our shoulder, and let's just focus on going like this, forward. And they're struggling with just something simple. And I said, don't get frustrated or upset. You're learning a brand new skill. It's going to take about 1,000 or 2,000 hours for you to go, I feel comfortable. And I think a lot of times in the 21st century in America, in Oregon and Douglas County, we can get kind of results-focused and results-oriented. And we've got to be careful of that. When you're learning a new skill, when you're learning a new truth, just the fact that you grasp it or it was revealed to you does not mean you understand it fully. Now we have to study it out. Now we need to dig in there. Now we have to, you know, start delving in. The aha moment does not mean you're wise. The understanding of a doctrine does not mean you understand what it's really teaching. So we want to focus on process over results, right? Consistency over intensity. We see here that Paul's saying, listen, I rejoice to write the same things to you. Paul is excited about the same truths. He goes to every town and teaches the same thing and teaches the same thing and teaches the same thing. If anybody would get bored of the spiritual truths he's learned and teaches, it's Paul. Because he has mastered the basics and fundamentals. And that's all he teaches everywhere he goes. And yet he says, I rejoice to write the same things to you. I'm not bothered or burdened or bored by them. I'm excited about them. It's pretty neat. And we'll see why here in a second. If any other man thinks that he has reason to trust in the flesh, I have more. Now, we're going to see the flesh displayed in four areas, okay? Coming up, we're going to see the flesh displayed in four areas. And if we miss it, I'll make sure that we grasp it as we read through it, okay? So we're talking about the flesh and boasting in the flesh. He says here, verse 5, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, and concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So the four areas of the flesh that Paul can say, hey, I can boast in. So people that are coming behind Paul and trying to diminish his apostleship, try and say, hey, well, look at us. We're better than Paul. Look how special we are. And Paul is, he's doing this, I would say sarcastically. Paul doesn't usually fight fire with fire. He goes to more the heart of the issue. But here he says, okay, if we want to talk about the flesh, let me give you four areas where I excel at. The four areas that he displays in the flesh are, he was circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. So he is born from the tribe of Benjamin, which is the only tribe that did not bail out on David back in the Old Testament. The 10 other tribes did. Benjamin was the only one that said, no, David's our king, we'll stay with him. Everybody else left in support of the king in the north. So these people would know what this means when he says, listen, I was born from this family root. We're not traitors. We're the peers of the peer. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. Let's see the second one we see here of the flesh. He says, as concerning the law, a Pharisee. Again, even more prestige. Second thing is the side that I chose to be on, whether it's Sadducee or Pharisee, I'm a Pharisee. Okay, I am the one that has a great, I was born a certain way from a certain heritage, and I also chose to be on the Pharisaical side, which is even more prestige. The third thing we see here, as we keep on reading, concerning zeal. So how was this lived out day to day? Concerning this zeal, persecuting the church. Now, Paul has even said, I have put people in prison. I have killed people of the way. He's murdered people. I have sentenced to death and put people in prison. That's on the road to Damascus in Romans chapter 8. That's what he wanted to do. He got letters saying, yes, you can literally hunt people down. So it's concerning zeal from the area I was born, my roots, and the Pharisaical side, practically speaking, it got so, I was so zealous, I was persecuting the church. The fourth one we see concerning the righteousness, which is of the law, blameless. So he followed the law to a T. Following the law, I think, can kind of get confused with you never not do what the law says. But in the law, when you break the law, there's a law on what to do when you break the law. Does that confuse you? Clear as mud. When you break the law, following the law, there are things you're to do, right? So it's not that you don't ever not break the law. It's when you break the law, here's the requirements I want done, and sacrifices, or how to make things right between your brothers, things of that nature. So Paul lists out four areas that he could say, if I want to boast in my flesh, bring it on. People that are coming behind me saying that they're boasting in some things, I got them beat here, 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 and here. Now watch what he does moving forward. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me in the last four areas, I have counted these things to be loss for the sake of Christ. Verse 8, yes, certainly I count everything as loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have forfeited the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God on the basis of faith, to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if somehow I might make it to the resurrection of the dead. So he says, all the four great things that I was born into, that I chose to do, that I acted out in my behavior, okay, that I lived, that I was sold out to that cause in those four areas, all those things that I had, I count them all for loss. Because he's comparing it to that I may know him. See, those four areas, how I was born, the path I chose to be religious, the living out of my religious system, and following it to a T doctrinally, leaves out the one main thing that Paul wants, is a personal, experiential relationship with Jesus Christ. And that comes through faith. That comes through faith. He says, I have all these great things, and they're all fantastic, they're all wonderful, but all those things are lost. I don't want any of that, because what I want is just simply to know who my Savior is. Who my Savior is. And that cannot be done from the four previous areas of my life. It's a new way. It's a new way that I am now sold out to so much that I'm not going to say, well, back in my day, because back in my day is rubbish. The two biggest things that we're noticing in Paul's life as he moves forward is he doesn't use the four areas that he was so blessed with, that he chose to do on the highest of highs, the most successful, to say, I've done all that, I'm just going to coast now. I'm just going to take it easy. I've earned it. Because of how I was born. I was born in the family. I was born in this. I chose to do these things. I behaved this way. And you know what? Now that I'm here, I've made it. That says for all you young whippersnappers. The second thing that we see, this will be a big one I'm going to hit on in the second half. Paul is not using his limitations to hold him back from experiencing the life of Christ he desires. And when I say limitations, he's not saying, you know what? I am unqualified. I killed my people. I can't be used of God because I'm the one that persecuted the church. Who am I? What do I know? I'm going to repeat this phrase today. I hope if I remember. So I'll say it right now to say that I said it today. The limitations you fight for, you get to keep. The limitations you fight for, you get to keep. I can't. I've never been good at. I'm unable. It's just not who I am. What we're really saying, and I'm not even saying this to be judgmental, but what we're really saying in a kind way is I haven't put a whole lot of effort into these areas. We're going to see the word effort coming up here in a little bit. There hasn't been a whole lot of effort. Time, volume, and skill. Hours and hours and hours and hours. So Paul could have said, listen, I am unqualified, I killed the church, I cannot be used of God. We're going to see coming up the same thing that seized Paul, the same thing on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 8, Christ seized him. Paul could have chose to walk away. He was not seized and saved right there. In 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel, he says, he explains the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection. It's the same gospel I believed in. In Acts chapter 26, when he's replaying, while he's being judged in a court, he says that he was told by Ananias to come with him to be baptized and to believe in Jesus. So just because he had the aha moment, he was not born again there. He was not selected to be saved on the road to Damascus. He still had to choose to believe. Acts 26, and 1 Corinthians 15 says, I chose to believe in it. Now there was a calling that God did have for Paul, and that's what we're going to see Paul striving for. Really, really cool. Okay, Philippians here, we'll go back to it. Let's see. Verse 10, Philippians 3:10, to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if somehow I might make it to the resurrection of the dead. Now what he's saying there is one of two things. One, I hope I can achieve this power before I get resurrected, before I get raptured out of here. Okay, I hope I can receive this power before I get resurrected out of here. The other one is as he's going through this process, well, I'll come back to this because I'll come back to it in the second half. Verse 12, not that I have already attained or have already been perfected or completed, but I follow after it so that I may lay hold of that for which I was seized by Christ Jesus. Acts 26, he was called to be a light to the Gentiles. And he says, and to turn them and to have works meet for repentance. So my calling is to give the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus to the Gentile peoples, and that as they live their life out, they can show a life that's well-pleasing to Jesus Christ. That's what I'm following after. That's what I'm following after. That's my goal. Every single Gentile that I win to Christ, that they do works meet for repentance, that they're doing good deeds, that they're living a life well-pleasing. That's not going to stop until I'm out of here. Brothers, verse 13, I do not count myself to have attained, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He has not fully grasped his calling yet. He has not fully completed it. He understands grasping. He understands what he's doing, why he's here. He understands that he's saved. He understands that he's secure in Christ. He understands his calling, his gifts, and he understands that he's to go out until he's taken up out of here. That he understands. But it's not completed with, there are still Gentile people groups that have not heard the gospel that I want to get to. There are still people that have not heard, and I'm going to go tell them. This is Paul's calling. I'm not saying this is your calling. I'm saying it's Paul's calling. He's very, very clear. So I have not attained, I have not fully grasped or completed my task while I'm here. He just got done saying in 1 Corinthians, I don't know why I said that, Philippians chapter 2, that Christ was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That obedience to the Father, he said, let that mind be in you. Because in Christ Jesus. That's what he wants to do. He wants to be obedient to what God's task is for his life. He says, here's what I have attained, though. Here's what I have fully got a grasp on. The limitations of my past, the bad things that I've done, and the good things that I've done mean nothing for the future. He's not resting in his limitations. He's not resting in his insecurities. He's not resting in his successes. He's not stopping. I'm forgetting those things. I'm forgetting those things. He understands that if he settles mentally, he understands to be still. I'm not talking about waiting on the Lord. To be still is the worst place to be, because things will be taken from him. His comforts, his joys, his securities. Being still, being in the middle, and doing nothing is the worst place to be. I know what to do, but I'm not going to do it. Why? Because I'm unable to, because of my limitations. I know what to do, but it's just not, my personality doesn't let me do that. Or I'm not going to, because look at all the great things I've already done. Here's one thing that Paul has attained. He's saying, hey guys, listen, brothers, all those good and bad things, positive and negative, I'm letting them go. Because I want to continue. I want to put effort in. I want to put effort in to knowing Christ more and knowing Christ more and knowing Christ more. I want to know who he is, his power, and his sufferings more and more and more and more. That knowing him, his power, and his sufferings isn't a one-time deal. And once he came out of it, whoa, I experienced that. I'm good to go. Yeah. Nope, I'm going to keep going. And I'm going to keep going. Consistency over intensity. I'm just going to keep on going. I heard a saying when I was at Fort Bliss, Texas. Do they have an accent down in El Paso? Yeah? I can't remember. I was down there going to a church, praying about what to do with my life. I was getting ready to get medically discharged because I blew a disc in my back. And I was with the youth pastor at that time. He would pick me up. I mean, I was, 21 years old, but he would pick me up and take me to church. And he said, one thing that's helped me, he said, do what you know what to do until you know what to do. That's what Paul's doing. He's saying, listen, brothers, I'm here in prison. He's writing this from prison, on house arrest. And you can see in his language, he's not allowing him being chained to a prison guard stop his momentum from pressing towards that mark, that prize. He's going to give more effort. He's going to give more effort. Not super, super intense. Steady. 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 And the two things that we see is, he's not allowing his past failures or his limitations or his past success hold him back from going forward. Let's stand for our second song here. All right, so back to Philippians chapter 3. So we see Paul here encouraging the brothers there at Philippi from house arrest, letting them know that, hey, repeating to you the same truths isn't laborious or bothersome to me. If anybody can boast in the flesh, it's me. And he lists how he could boast in the flesh. And he goes on to say, at the end of the day, moving forward, when we understand our calling, nothing gets in the way of us just going and going and going. What I want to focus on with us today is, do you know what you're striving after? You don't have to raise your hand or shake your head yes or give me an answer out loud, but do you even know what you're striving after? We call that purpose. Right? We call it purpose. Do I even know what I'm going towards, specifically in the context of in my spiritual life? Do I even know? If I don't know, what can happen, not always, but what can happen is I can look at my flesh and say, look at what I've done, or look at my limitations. When my purpose isn't clear, I look at what I believe to be clear. A lot of times what can happen, I'll back up and rephrase this. We look at the world through one perspective. ours, right? We look at society, we look at the world, we look at church, we look at spiritual things, unspiritual things. We look at things in life from our perspective. Now, as we mature, what we start to do is start to think about how other people's perspectives get them to think the way that they do. So we're not angry, we're not upset, we're patient and going, oh, with what they know or don't know, what they're ignorant of, how they were raised, what they're around, what's influencing them, they're at where they're at. Okay, I can see how they can conclude to that conclusion. So I don't take it personal, right? Paul doesn't take things personal in the Bible when they start living out certain behaviors. He's kind of rough with the Galatians in the very beginning, right? It's kind of early on in his ministry, like around the mid-50s when he's just starting out. He's like, I marvel that you're so easy to remove from the gospel that I taught you guys. But you see his letters as he continues his ministry, he gets softer and softer, like Peter does. Because he's learning different perspectives. So perspective knowledge is fantastic. Perspective knowledge is fantastic. One thing that we can do to help each other is we can help each other get to your calling from our perspective. I can help you. I have a gift from God. I know what my gift is, and my past limitations or my past successes are gonna hinder me from using my gift to help you become more conformed to Christ's image. I'm going to do it. So we can be used to help each other conform to Christ's image. At the end of the day, that's what all of us are to be doing, correct? All of us are to live for Christ's glory. We are all to, our purpose and value are to be more like Jesus in behavior, not in ministry, in behavior. That we all know. Now, if there are certain things in your life that you're thinking that have happened to you that say, hey, I can't do these things because, we can come alongside each other and say, hey, have you thought about it from this point of view, though? Well, no, I haven't. Well, knowing the information I just gave you, do you think you can now achieve that? Well, I mean, now that you say it that way, yeah. A lot of times we focus, we have a view of our limitation that we're fighting to hold on to. Every limitation you fight for, you get to keep. A lot of times in society today, what can't happen is we can think to ourselves and think, I don't know enough about the Bible to talk to someone about the Bible. And my question is by what measuring stick? Like who, where'd that thought come from? Who said you don't know enough? Because you're definitely not reading that in the Bible. Who said you don't know enough? Well, this is what I feel. Well, tell me about how you feel. I just get nervous. Gotcha. So it's not that you don't think you don't know enough. You're just nervous to talk to someone about Christ or scriptural truths. That we can handle. So if I was to talk to you and help you not be nervous, will that change your mind talking to people about Jesus? Absolutely. And the cool thing is I wouldn't have someone, I wouldn't teach someone anything new. I'm helping them with their limitation of just being nervous, being scared, on what if they ask me? Chances are they're not going to. But if you know these two things, that Jesus Christ died, rose again 3 days later for the sins of mankind, number two is if you want to accept Christ as your Savior, He'll save you. If you know those two things, and you get those things concrete in your heart, you can start the conversation. That point of view, it narrows down so many questions that you think might come up. Pretty cool, it just happened, right? I didn't teach them anything new. We're just giving them confidence in what they already know. The confidence comes from faith in Jesus. That's what Paul's talking about here. So we can help each other with the limitations we think that we have, that we've placed on ourselves, right? Now, to be clear, if we have physical limitations, I'm not suggesting, yeah, go walk on water, go for it. I'll back you up on the shore here. I'm not saying that stuff. If we have legitimate physical or legitimate, like, you know, things going on in our lives, that's one thing. But a thought holding us back is something totally else, so totally different, that has a different approach to it. And what it comes down to is I haven't stretched myself in that area. I'm nervous to learn a new skill. Because what can happen is, you guys follow me, you guys doing okay? What can happen if we're not careful is learning a new skill, when I start reading a new truth or searching a new truth, I start telling myself, I should already know this. No, you shouldn't. Who said you should already know this? I've gone to church for 40 years, and 40 years of going to church has got you where you're at. Fantastic. Praise the Lord. Nothing wrong with that. But if you want to stretch, if you want to grow, like in a sport or in anything in life, if you want to grow, you're not going to be very good at it. Right? Learning about soteriology, how many of you don't even know what that is? There you go. What's soteriology? The study of salvation. Okay? Once we introduce a new topic, you're going to start at ground zero. And ground zero for people in their emotions, you guys doing good so far, can be humbling. Because you have one view. I should already know this. Or why don't I know this? Or why haven't I figured this out yet? Or I should be leaps and bounds ahead of this. Or, no, you just got exposed to it. Or when God reveals the truth to you, you go, man, this is fantastic. And you start like looking into it and go, I have a handle on it. No, you don't, not yet, but let's keep going. Right? Let's keep pressing towards that mark, that calling. Let's keep going. What we can do is grab one limitation. This is what I tell myself I can't do. This is what I tell God I'm unable to do. This is what I tell myself that I am something negative. I want you to grab a limitation. And I want you to say, okay, Lord, between me and you, I am going to grow in this area. I'm going to give you, Lord, 1,000 hours of study and getting this one limitation better in my life. Now, 1,000 hours seems like a lot, doesn't it? Because it is. And how you're going to start is 5 minutes a day. Yeah, 10 for you, because you're above average, Rachel. Start small, right? 5 minutes a day. And say, I'm going to grow in this area. I'm going to grow. I'm going to be intentional in growing in my limitation. 5 goes to 10. And every day, it just gets better and better and better. And you're going to look back a year from now and go, holy smokes. I am no longer in my mind thinking I am not good at. Because you were intentional every day at it. In your limitation. Second thing we're going to look at is your successes. Okay, your successes. You have been successful in many spiritual and many physical things in life, whether it's business, whatever. Thank God. Praise the Lord. I'm all for that. But let's not use that to hinder us from growing more. Don't settle with, I've been there, done that. No, ask the Lord this. Okay, Lord, I'm at where I'm at. Is there anything new for me in my life with where I'm at now? Is there anything new for me that I can grow and that you want me to learn? Anything new that I don't know about? Or is there anybody you want me to help teach what I know? whether it's business, whether it's spiritual, whether it's whatever, life. Now we're getting somewhere. But as we're being active, right, we're going forward. We're not allowing limitations or past successes say, nope, we're only going to be like Paul and say, listen, here's what I have apprehended. Here's what I do understand. My calling. I haven't apprehended or completed my full purpose, my full mission in that calling. So once we can narrow down what our calling is, or maybe what your purpose is, or maybe just information that you know, who can you invest with what you know? How can you help get them going forward? How can you help mature them in Christ or in a business or whatever? Just be with them as a friend. But like Paul, he's not letting his prison cell, house arrest, control his thought process to say, I'm in prison. There's nothing for me to do. I can't do this. I can't do that. I want you guys to free yourself from your own prison bars on what you can't do. I want you to free yourself from the thoughts that you're holding on to on, well, I've already done and succeeded. Okay, if you have done and succeeded, thank God, praise the Lord. But have you invested in anybody yet and helped them succeed? That's step two. Because as we know, we don't know when our time is up here. I want to take what I know and give it to someone that's going to be left behind. I don't care about a legacy other than one, and his name is Jesus. I don't want that truth to die. I don't want Christ's truth to die with me. I'm going to teach someone else. I'm going to invest in someone else. And that's if you feel like I've completed, I'm there, I've done all I can do. Great, invest in someone else now. What I'm getting at here in Philippians 3 is there are so many things going against Paul and the people that Paul are writing to, and this theme of Philippians is joy. The whole book is full of joy. And rejoice, rejoice in joy. I count it all a joy. It's pretty neat when you think about it in the context of what's happening and where Paul's at, what they're going through. I think that we're in a situation to where we can say we can have joy. But it starts here. It starts here with my thought process on my limitations that you're telling yourself are true, but you never actually study them out. You never actually try to get those better. And two is your past successes, fantastic. Have you helped someone else succeed the way you have? In life, in business, in spiritual matters, in anything. That's the message that Paul is teaching here. No matter where he's at or what he's doing, he's always looking forward, always going forward, always going forward, and enjoying being present. Enjoying who I'm with, enjoying being present as he helps people around him go forward in Christ. So your career can't get in the way of that. Your 8-to-5 job, whatever it is that you work. Your retirement won't get in the way of that. Your family won't get in the way of that. Because those things are behavioral and spiritual. They can happen at any time, anywhere, in any circumstance. It's pretty neat. We're going to have communion. After we do communion, we'll go ahead and sing our last song and pray. We're also going to have a potluck afterwards, so please feel free to stay after that. We'll have Dave, Don, and Bob come forward, please.